We were talking about that last week with my two brother-in-laws, this song, brothers-in-law, I guess is the proper way to say that. And Dale was a pastor, and he said, you know the story behind that, and I'd heard it before, but he said a woman sat down 6 or 7 years ago and was going to try to write some reasons to praise the Lord, and she finished with over 10,000 reasons. So I think if we did that, we'd probably come up with multitudes of pages, and I trust more than 10,000 reasons. And it was Billy this morning. We came in, we were just talking about such a beautiful day, and he goes, you know, we overlook so many small things. Just seeing the sun, seeing the buds in the trees, and that's true. And if you put that down, if you start listing things like that, we'd have 50,000 reasons and still not be done. So what an awesome God. Take out your notes and make sure you're following along on this. We're starting a very short mini-series, just 3 parts today, next week, and on the 16th. The 23rd, Steve, we're going to be on vacation. We're going to be gone the 23rd and 30th. Steve Bennett from Gailton Baptist will be here. He's the pastor of evangelism. He's spoken here at least once or twice. Good friend of mine, used to be at the teen center. A really good guy. I know you'll enjoy Steve. And then the 30th, Ron, were you able to get a Gideon or?
I didn't contact.
We'll try to get a Gideon in. A Gideon speaker for the 30th, but we'll have someone. But Steve, at least, is going to be on the 23rd. But this week, we're looking at what in the world is God doing, looking at some of the events in our world. Next week, with being Mother's Day, we'll look, what is God doing, and look, what's he doing in the family? And then on the 16th, what is God doing in the church? Is the church dying, or is the church shifting? Again, my brothers-in-law and I had some good discussions about it as I was talking about the series coming up, and they were saying, you hear so many people saying that the church is dying and possibly it's losing some steam in America, but it's booming around the world. So that's why we ask that question, is it dying or shifting? Let's just ask the Lord to take our time now. Father, we just commit these next moments to you as we look at your word, as we look at what's going on in the world, and we just can praise you because we know the God who holds it all in his hand. And we're thankful for that we serve the creator, we serve the sustainer, the one who has not turned his back on the world. We hear all the different implications and stories and people blaming you and saying, where are you, or asking, where are you, what's going on? But Lord, we can rest in the fact, as that song said, we trust in your goodness and your mercy and the 10,000 plus reasons that we could list that you are faithful to us and you're good and you're awesome. And we just give you the praise as we look at this morning. Pray that we would have our eyes open to what is going on around us and what you want us to do in the midst of it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you think back to just over a year ago, it was the first Sunday in March, there was rumors about this pandemic starting. We heard about the coronavirus or COVID, whatever it was called back early on. And we spent a Sunday in prayer. If you remember, if you were here, we had different posts up, and one was on this side. I can't remember. We prayed medically. We were here. It was going to be a couple of weeks, so we were praying for the doctors. We were praying for the medical field. We were praying that it wouldn't be serious, and we weren't sure exactly what we were praying for, but we just listed some things, and we prayed for the schools. We prayed for churches. We prayed for our missionaries like we always do, but we had one post back there for the medical, dedicated specifically to the COVID. Then we went to school. At the end of that week, we went to the school, high school play. It was South Pacific, and they got word that was going to be their last performance. They weren't going to be going back to school for 2 weeks. So I think it was March 13th or 14th, whatever it was. And so we went to the play and got to talk to some kids and said goodbye, because I was a sub up there quite often. I said, we'll see you in a couple weeks. And we didn't know that a couple weeks was going to turn into the rest of the school year. And this year has been the most interesting, the most disturbing, the most, year filled with most loss. It was a very unique year. Our church, our congregation was heavily hit by the COVID virus. Most of us have had it, and those who didn't all got their shots, and even some of us who had it got our shots. We lost a couple of dear men who worshiped here due to COVID. We had people who've lost great friends. I lost a sister, and so it's been a year that no one saw coming. They were saying that somebody who believes in fortune telling, saying they had gone to a fortune teller or something, and they were right on everything about what was going to happen to them, except they didn't tell them that the COVID virus was going to hit and they were going to be out of work. So even these ones who said that they know the future, no one saw that. By the way, we don't believe in that anyway. But the political picture has and still does bother everyone. We don't see it quite as much as we did back in April, May, but the political unrest and the racial unrest, the political unrest we see, but the hatred in our streets is still boiling over. I saw someone was shot the other day. We still remember watching the officer sitting in the police car in New York and people just coming up and throwing soda and beer at them through the window and running away, and just the hatred toward law enforcement, the hatred just in our streets, the hatred in Washington, D.C., and the hostility that's so present. But the political unrest certainly bothers people. Just the hatred and viciousness directed to the last administration, whether you agreed with him or not, it was just amazing. And now this administration can do nothing wrong because the media is very slanted. But the world watches, and you probably heard it as a believer, where is this God of yours? Could this God that you say you worship really allow racism? Could the God that you say you worship allow children to be separated from their parents at the border? Can your God allow such a hatred to be going on in our streets? And I had people say, your president, because I did support the president, said, your president's a moron. Now, I never defended him. I never said he wasn't a moron. I got into more arguments than I wanted to about political stuff this past year, and I tried to really back away from that because I don't want him to think that as a pastor I was leaning toward one party. It's not one party over the other. It's what promotes Christianity better. But it amazes me when people who want God out of everything, want to take him out of school, they want to take him even out of churches today, they want to remove the word of God, they take God out of everything, and then when sin and the consequences of sin affects them, then they ask, where is God? Does your God care? Where is your God that we've tried to remove from schools and all this? They want to blame God for everything. And it's very interesting that the world doesn't want God until they need God. And we see that going on all over. So what is happening in our world? And we're going to look at three things here, and they all begin with an S, a sense, a search, and a spiritual. But the first thing is a sense of hopelessness, a sense of hopelessness. And even Christians fall into this trap of blaming God for all the turmoil that's in their lives, for all this junk that's going on. They blame God for this. And it's amazing, the believers I hear doing this, people who call themselves Christians, are not living any different than the world. The ones who blame God are no different than the lost out there that have no claim to God. But you know, I'm comforted as I think of this and as we look at this sense of hopelessness, that God is not limited to our sense of who he is he? God is not limited to what Ron Hagee says he is, or what Ron Hagee believes he is, or what Franklin Graham or any pastor or any non-Christian says he is. Oh, he's a good God. He's out there existentially. He's out in the world, but he's not present in our lives. Or times when I know he's present, but I just don't feel him, and then I blame him for something in my life. God is not limited to that. He's not restricted to what my thoughts or conceptions of him is or are. He's a God that is doing something in our nation and in our world. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you what it is. I wish I could stand up here and say, this is what God has planned. This is what all this past year was pointed to, and in the next couple of weeks we're going to see an answer. This is what the answer is going to be. I wish I could do that, but I can't. I can tell you he's never been caught off guard, never been taken by surprise by anything. The plague that's in our place right now, all the suffering, all the sickness, we don't know what's going on, but we know that he wasn't caught by surprise. You know, he never has been. He wasn't caught by surprise when Adam and Eve chose to listen to the serpent. He wasn't caught by surprise when Pharaoh kept changing his mind and not letting the Egyptians go. Remember, he even told Moses that. He prepared 10 plagues. So imagine Moses going to the people, not having a complete idea of what's going on, but knowing, here's plague number one. I still got 9 to go through, and I keep telling the people God's doing something. Imagine being Moses for a moment. Think about what he went through. But he wasn't taken by surprise when David sinned with Bathsheba. He wasn't taken by surprise when Jonah decided to run from him and head toward Nineveh, or away from Nineveh, and get swallowed by the fish. God had the fish prepared. So God knew that that was going to happen. He wasn't taken by surprise when Mary and Joseph, about to give birth to his son, couldn't find a room in an inn. God was not taken by surprise that they slept in a manger. He wasn't taken by surprise when Peter denied him. He wasn't taken by surprise with Hitler. He wasn't taken by surprise with World War I or World War II. The world events are in his control, and we need to remind ourselves and be comforted with the fact that God guides the hearts, God guides the hands and the feet of men. And he is in control of all of this. So we can say all of that, but what does it mean today? I want to take a little bit of a different approach to what we're looking at this morning and look at what Americans searched online for last year. Okay, this is from what's it called? Bible Gateway. All right, we're going to look at some of the popular searches that people looked for last year in the midst of all this junk that was going on in a world that frequently felt like it was ending. I heard pastors say it's ending. I heard pastors say this is the beginning of the Great Tribulation. I never said that. I believe it's all leading to that, and we can't predict. I wouldn't begin to try to predict when the end is happening. But some new data from Bible Gateway is the biggest Christian online Bible tool that's out there. It gives us a look at what some of the things people are looking for. So the 2020 topics that were most searched for on the internet, that shouldn't surprise you, COVID-19. Probably some of you did that. If we'd gotten out of our prayer meeting that Sunday and typed in COVID-19, there wouldn't have been any answers. There's still no answers. Do you know that? It's been a year plus, and doctors are still taken by surprise. I had a doctor, and I told our board this. I had an annual checkup in January, and my doctor had a mask on, and I had my mask on, and he said, have you had COVID? I said, yes. He goes, let's take these things off. He goes, because I had it at Thanksgiving. I said, well, that's when I had it. And he goes, Ron, he says, they're going to tell you 90 days that you've got antibodies. I'm going to tell you, guarantee you, medically, you're going to have it for a year. I had another doctor tell me, no, he said, you're not safe. My doctor told me, he said, don't get the shot. If you've had COVID and you get the shot, it's going to be worse. Another doctor told me, if you don't get it, you know, and you do get it, if you don't get the shot and you get COVID again, you're going to die. You know, they don't know. How many of you believe anything Fauci says? Anybody? He's changed his mind so many times. It's amazing. There was a new cartoon out this week. I'm not trying to be political, but there was a new cartoon out. It was a guy walking down the street with seatbelt on, and he said, Fauci's now recommending you use your seatbelt when you walk down the street. But COVID-19 was the number one thing looked for. Political news, does that surprise you? Social injustice. And then number four was the end times. Now, the end times is not anything that's completely new, but being in the top 10, I think, was something new. But most of those, COVID-19 had never been searched for, as far as I know. But people were turning to the Bible in search of some of these things. I just wrote some things down. The COVID-19 pandemic was hit a peak at the beginning of the year. The first 5 months of the year was when it was really on people's consciousness. People were searching, what is this COVID-19? And like I said, if they continue to search it, they're not going to have any more answers than they did last year. But politics hit peaks with the U.S.-Iran conflict. And people were wondering, what's going on? People were wondering with January last year with the impeachment of Donald Trump. Super Tuesday, people were searching, what's happening there? Going on in the voting? Social injustice, what happened?
to make people search for that. Well,
it really hit the peak around when George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery were killed. People wanted to know what's going on socially. Why is all this hatred?
And then number four, the end times, with peaks around the COVID-19 outbreak, amid stories about
our nation becoming a cashless society. People who don't even know Christ are aware that there's something going on with that. I went for my last shot on Thursday, so I had my second shot. I felt fine. But the girl who did my injection, I asked her, I said, have you been really busy? Because they said, when I had my first one, they said they're going to really get busy because it's going to be open to everyone in the next couple weeks after that. So I said, so how was it last week? And she said, we had over 100 cancellations, we think because of the Johnson & Johnson scare. But she said, she looked at my name, she goes, Mr. Hagee, she said, we had an older couple who came for their second shot, and their daughter had sent them a link that said, all these shots are putting transmitters into our body. And this lady said, I told him, she goes, he was really angry, and he was scared. And she said, you know, Cheryl said, well, why did he go? He went, I think, to keep his second appointment, but then got in and realized, I don't know if I want a transmitter in my arm. And the lady said, I gave this shot to my mom. I promise you, I'm not going to inject you with a thing that's going to track you. But I did say to her, I said, I don't have any fears of that. I'm just worried about the junk I'm putting in my body. I don't know what's in the shot. I'm not worried about it being a transmitter. But I did say, well, I'm a pastor. I told our church this is pointing to the end times. And she didn't argue. She didn't disagree. I really believe that it's preparing us to say, because she gave me my card with my second shot on it. How many of you had your doctor tell you, this is as good as a passport and it's valuable? She told me, do not lose it. She goes, take a picture of it with your phone and then put it in the safe. She said, people are stealing these and they're worth a lot of money. I'm thinking of selling mine. After I took a picture of it. So I'm thinking of putting it off for the highest bidder. But on eBay, yeah. Keep up in the bids. But it's amazing. But people are afraid. That's end times. So people are thinking, are these shots really pointed to that? But what's interesting is it's Bible software, or the Bible, what's it called? Bible Gateway said, what's more interesting is the enormous spike in people that were looking up Bible verses about the racial killings. The verses they looked up for when George Floyd was killed. They said they noted search terms like racism, justice, injustice, equality, and oppression. And that led to verses like this in Proverbs 21:15. You can write some of these down if you want, but you don't have to. It says, when justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. And another verse that kept coming up when they searched this was, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. So here's people who are, that last one was Isaiah 1:17, I'm sorry. Take up the cause of the fatherless. And they said pandemic was the other major search term, but it had people looking up verses about disease and pestilence and plague, and it led to a couple of verses. I have one of them up here. Exodus 23:25 says, worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you. And then this one, in Jeremiah 33:6, it says, nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and let them enjoy abundant peace and security. And Bible Gateway said, it kind of explained that that's not just talking about physical health. It's not physical healing. It's spiritual healing through Christ. So people, even though they weren't looking for that, in their hopelessness, they were being pointed to the Word of God. And I want you to see that's point number two, is a search for meaning. A search for meaning. I want you to listen to the final paragraph in Bible Gateway's explanation. Listen to this. While it's been a wild year, not everything has changed. John 3:16, we know the verse, for God so loved the world. And Jeremiah 29:11, it just went out of my mind. What's that say? I know the plans I have for you.
Yeah, okay. I know the plans I have for you. Were the two most sought and searched Bible verses of the year, just like they were the previous decade. Those two verses were the two most sought after verses. But listen to this.
Likewise, love and peace were the most searched words overall, just like normal. However, a new word came in third place this year, hope. People wanted hope. People were looking
for hope in this world of hopelessness. So what can we make of all this? What does this mean to us?
I mentioned this guy before, Walt Johnson, his wife Sue,
were youth leaders in our first ministry
back in 84 down in Reading, so going on 40 years ago.
They were missionaries, I think, to the Philippines for a number of years, but they now work at Penn State University with foreign students, particularly the Chinese. And I had posted something on Facebook back in the midst of all this, and he wrote to me, he said, Pastor Ron, he said, I want you to know, he said, Chinese students, because they're locked in their dorms, he said, not many of them are Christians. He said, they're locked in their dorms, and he said, they're in there looking for answers to spiritual questions of what's going on. And he said, they're being open to the gospel like never before. He said, God is working.
People are searching for hope. Chinese students who are coming to America are being locked down, and they're looking for hope. They're looking for love. They're looking for peace. They're looking for answers to the hopelessness that they see all around them.
Today, I want to look at a verse to see what's happening. I don't want it to be just my opinion of what's going on. But I believe the vaccine, as I said, is preparing us,
in a sense. And again, I've explained this to my son. It's not the mark of the beast that some have said. It's not that. But I believe it's certainly preparing us for that, so that the government can tell us, you can't shop, you can't travel, you can't do anything until you receive this. And I think America's ready, don't you?
I think America's ready to listen to anything the government tells them. And it's scary, but Christians, we need to be willing to take a stand. I do believe it's preparing us for that. I do believe God is preparing us for judgment, for unbelief. I believe America's facing judgment for allowing
abortion to continue, for other atrocities that are in our world, for Christians not standing up.
I believe God is using this again to prepare us. Is it the final plague? I don't know. Do you remember,
when did AIDS first hit? Back in 1980, mid-80s, I don't know exactly when it was, but I remember when Magic Johnson got it. Oh, that was going to change the world, and sexual behavior is going to be altered. There's going to be no more promiscuousness. How long did that last?
Not very long. And that was a lot of Christians.
A lot of Christians, and I guarantee I wasn't one of them, said that's God's punishment on homosexuals. I don't believe God would punish a homosexual any more than he would a gossip, is my opinion.
He hates sin, but he hates hatred. He hates racism. He hates premarital, extramarital affairs. He hates all of that. But sin is sin, and he hates all of it. But I don't believe that AIDS was
the end-all sin or the end-all judgment.
But everything that's come along, anytime the world's been plagued, we say it's God's wrath being poured out on the world. I don't know what this pandemic really means, but I believe God is working. And I want you to hear, I'm going to read a verse for you in a minute, but I want you to see, this is what people were saying, that the reason people are looking for meaning. Number one is the normal way of doing things and living has disappointed them far too often.
The way that we've been going on, we've been deceiving ourselves by the lies of the world, and people are starting to wake up to that. People are starting to realize the government's lied to me. Is anybody just now finding that out? No, we've known that for a long time, haven't we? There are people who believe that churches have lied to them. That may be. But they're believing that
all this feel-good stuff is not working. Number two is they say people need something more dependable because people need an anchor. Whatever we've been trusting to this point has failed. I need something that I can hold on to. And then number three, and again, this is what people believe, the Holy Spirit is prompting people
to be drawn to the Word of God. That's exciting.
And that's what I believe God is doing. The search is underway. But I want, if you have your Bibles, turn to
2 Timothy chapter 4. I didn't want to put it up on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 4.
I could have, but verses 1 to 5, and I believe this is going to lead us into our third point very well.
2 Timothy chapter 4,
verses 1 to 5.
This is Timothy's last letter, or Paul's last letter that he wrote to Timothy just before he was martyred.
He knows he's about to die, and he's challenging Timothy to continue on the ministry. In verse 1, and I'm reading again out of the ESV, English Standard Version. "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom," verse 2, "preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having their ears, having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions."
Let me just stop right there before we read that last verse. I've told you, I've had this discussion with my own children and with a number of other people over the last year. My son keeps saying, "Dad, watch this. What is it? What's the thing that's on now? Everybody's watching the things that people bring on the internet. What is it?
TikTok.
Not TikTok. Like, what are they called? Just the things you can."
Huh? Podcast. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm so technical. Just my mind is always racing computer wise. He says, "Dad, watch this podcast." And I said, "You know."
And he says, this is what I believe. This is where I'm going. And, you know, I talked about, he watched one with the ex-evangelicals,
young people. My son was a pastor's kid, and how hard it was for him. And he talks about all these ones now who kind of he agrees with. And I read the podcast a couple months ago from the girl who says she was raised in a Christian home, and she was born again, but now she's part of the homosexual church up in Northeast, and how they don't believe in just Jesus Christ is the only way. And I say, you know, you can find a podcast that agrees with you with anything. I can give you podcasts that support 100% of what I believe. Of course, you can find ones that support what you believe. And that's what this is saying. There are people who are going to find teachers. They're going to find teachers who will agree with their own passions and their own wickedness, their own sinfulness. In verse 4, "and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." That's exactly what those trashy podcasts are doing. And trashy churches, let me say that. Churches and pastors who refuse to preach the gospel. That's what's happening. Verse 5, "as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Folks, that should be our verse today. We should look at that and realize this is what God is calling us to do today. Because point number 3,
there's a spiritual harvest waiting. This should excite you. This should be thrilling to you to hear this, because Jesus said this. He says, "Look, I want to tell you something. Lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest." He's not saying, get ready to pick the corn.
Or down in the south, we've been through Mississippi when the cotton was starting to come up, and it's beautiful, those fields of white. That's not what he's talking about. He's not saying the wheat is ready. He's talking about souls. He's talking about living people who are searching, who are ready to be brought into his kingdom.
So how does this apply to us as believers? Well, listen to this. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. And you can underline that if you have it in your Bible. Always being prepared. Always being prepared. That's
to you and I. Always be prepared
to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. You can write down another verse that goes along with that. I don't have it up here. 2 Timothy chapter 2,
verses 24 and 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25.
Let me read this to you, and I've shared this at least one other time in my 11 years here. Is when I started off in ministry down in Reading back in 1984. My senior pastor said to me, "He said, Ron, he said,
I know he's going to be hard to believe. that I was very abrupt and very, very
outspoken about things. When I saw something, I was always ready to confront. I know you guys have a hard time believing that. But he took me to this verse, and he said, "Ron," he said, "I just want to tell you." He was in his 70s,
and he was a very gracious man. And he said, I'm not saying this to be mean to you or be mad at you.
He said, I just want you to, you need to soften. He said this. He said in verse 24 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness, so that God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth."
He said, "Ron, you're not the Holy Spirit." He said, "You've got to present the Word of God, but you've got to do it with gentleness. Just allow the Holy Spirit to do the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to convict them of sin."
And I've never forgotten that. I don't always live up to it, but that's a great verse.
Those two together. Always being prepared, but always be prepared to do it in gentleness
and allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work. If you remember 9/11, you remember that afternoon on that Tuesday. You remember the Washington, D.C.
Wouldn't you love to have that same atmosphere back again today? Wouldn't that be awesome, that Tuesday afternoon of 9/11
when the Senate or the House, whoever it was, I think it was the Senators, all stood on the steps of the Congress. And
where were they? I can't remember where they were. Anyway, they were all on the steps, and they were singing "God Bless America," and they were together. And it wasn't whether it was a Democrat or Republican, and people were saying, "This is going to bring about national unity and national repentance."
That lasted 2 or 3 days before the blame shifting and the finger pointing happened, and people blamed not only President Bush at the time, but blamed God for it. And I ask, is the pandemic any different? Is the racial issue any different? Is any of this pointing us to God? I believe it is. I don't know if this is the final outcome of what God's going to do. I'm not sure if people are more prone to turn to the Lord right now, but I know they're searching. I know people are open, and it's causing them to turn to Scripture, and they're going to find it if they're serious about it. But you know what? We need to live the Word of God out in front of people. We need to be the light in the midst of this hopelessness that surrounds everywhere that you work, that you go to school, you walk in the stores. How many people say, "You know, I walk in, my glasses are steamed up, especially more in the winter. It's not quite as bad now, but I walk in and somebody would say, 'Don't you hate these masks?' 'Yes.' I don't know what's going on." Well, you know, I didn't bring out my Bible and witness everyone, but I said, "Yeah, I know, I hate them too. You know, God's in control." That's just maybe all you can say. But maybe it'll open up a conversation to go a little bit beyond that. I had a lot of conversations in this past year.
I put quite a bit more on social media than what I normally do. And a lot of people agreed.
A lot of people, and you probably all have friends, you probably can't remember who they are like I do. I think I got rid of
300 people in the last 2 years. Unfriended them, not got rid of them. That's, I didn't
destroy them or anything. But people would comment on it, and then they'd either unfriend me or they'd cuss me out, and I would unfriend them. I had a lot of people using language that was totally inappropriate, and I don't know how Facebook allows that, but
they'll take down a political post that doesn't agree with them. But they'll allow someone to curse someone out who says something. But
it's amazing. I would share my point of view, and I would just say something like this. And I had conversations with teachers and other people in just around that, again, I don't know where this is bringing in the end times. This is the last thing to lead to the end times. But I don't know.
But I do know the God who's in control of everything. I do know that God is always good. And I would talk about our church. I would talk about what we're going through, that we've lost people.
And the ones who lost, I think of Bonnie. When Carl died, she said, I went and visited her and I talked to her, and she said, "God is good. In the midst of all this, God is good." And I was able to share that with people that we're going through. You know, the stuff that you're going through, and it's confusing you. As a believer, we know that God is still good. I didn't have anybody pray with me this year and say, "Ron, will you show me from the Word of God how I can have the hope that you have?" But I want to tell you, I believe God is moving
in hearts today. I really do believe God is doing something in spite of the news. Now, I know the news is never inaccurate. It's never blown out. It always reports the truth infallibly, right? So I know we, like, by the way, I haven't watched the news once since election night. I see things on my phone, so I follow a little bit with Newsmax, but I don't watch Fox News anymore. I don't watch any of that because their hope is not in the Lord. Their hope is, they don't have hope. they're giving you answers that they speculate on, but there's not hope. But if you look up here, God is the hope of the world and does not, don't let people tell you the Bible is hates women. Don't let people tell you the Bible promotes racism, that it's hopeless when you read it. It is the source of eternal relationship with the Creator who gave his Son to die for them, to die for me, to die for you. How's the world going to hear? How's the world going to find any hope in their hopelessness? It's through the church. It's through you and I. It's through the Word of God. And you and I need to be living it out. We need to be reading it. We need to be immersing ourselves in the Word of God so that people can see the Word of God shining out through us. And folks, there is a hopelessness in our world. We have the hope, though. And that's what the spiritual awakening, I really believe, is going on. God is preparing hearts, and we need to be prepared to share the message. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the hope that we have. And Lord, it's quite easy and quite comfortable for us to sit here this morning and think, yeah, that what we said is true. But Lord, for us to go out and do something about it, that's a whole different thing. I pray that we won't just be listeners, but we will be doers of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would motivate us to be your light out in the community. Lord, we might have to go someplace that's not comfortable. We might be around some people that we wouldn't choose to be with. But Lord, you're calling us to come to them in their hopelessness and represent you. I pray, Lord, that we would see a great harvest of souls. And Lord, I look forward to your return, whether it's this week or this year or in my lifetime. Lord, I believe it's coming soon. I just pray that we would prepare as many people. And I always appreciate what Dr. Dobson said, Jim Dobson, when he talked about challenging his own son. He said, I want to see you in heaven, but I want to see you take as many people with you as possibly can. And Lord, that's what I want to do. I want to take as many people with me as I possibly can as I represent you in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.